morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Picture, anchor, drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Let's start the show. Welcome, everybody, to the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Hope you all are having a great one out there. James behind the mic, Seth behind that one.
Yes, I'm here.
We're here to have some fun, and we are.
Man, I'm losing your voice.
I cleared my throat. You know, thankfully, we're not live, and I can edit that, and people won't have to hear that. I apologize, everybody. We are here to have some fun, and we got some great things lined up for you. In a little bit, we're going to get into an interesting one about franchises that haven't been seen in 20 years. Big-time movie franchises that haven't been touched. Mm-hmm. And by us bringing them up, they probably will be brought back.
Mm-hmm.
All that coming up for you.
Sure they will.
We'll get into our local schedule as well. We got some great good stories of the day for you and some great local events we want to touch on as well.
Always.
All that coming up. But we begin with entertainment news. And Jimmy Kimmel delivered what might have been the most anticipated monologue in late night, recent late night history.
Let's not go get over our skis here. Yeah.
You know, that's what the article was saying. And I'm correcting that in mid sentence.
Right.
There is no way that is the most anticipated ever.
No.
I would say that, I don't know, Johnny Carson's last show, yes. Conan's last show. There's a lot of them out there that really rank higher.
And that was back when more people were interested in what was going on late night television, which is a lot less now.
Yeah.
No aspersion to Jimmy Kimmel, but yeah.
He thanked everyone who supported him during his suspension, including conservatives like Ted Cruz, who spoke out in support of free speech. Mm-hmm. He also got emotional when he said he had never intended to, quote, make light of the murder of a young man. He also said he understood why some people thought his remarks were, quote, either ill-timed or unclear, or maybe both. And of course, he made his, jokes and everything, but I feel like Jimmy Kimmel did what Jimmy Kimmel did before this.
Yeah.
Did anybody actually listen to what he said and what he got suspended for?
Mm-hmm.
Because he did not say anything insane. He did not make light of anything.
No.
He was merely trying to bring to light what was happening and what is continuing to happen.
Yep.
The person that did this is a part of an extreme part of the mega right.
Yeah.
That's fact. You can't deny that.
Mm-hmm.
We have the evidence of that.
Right.
Our judicial system is working on it right now. The person that was affected by this, that was taken from this, is a part of the right, is a man who, if it was me in that chair, Charlie Kirk would be laughing. He'd be laughing with his buddies about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no doubt in the world in that. He has given you that. Take people on the words that they say,
right.
Not what you want them to say or what you want them to mean.
Right.
Take them on their word. Charlie Kirk told you who he was.
He
or
did.
At least who the people that were in his pocket had him be.
Yeah.
We know that now. Again, there are facts about these things. These are not opinions I am saying.
Right.
There are facts that if you are actually looking for them, you can find them.
They're there. Yes.
But the thing about this that I don't think enough people were seeing, that I could not wait to talk to my mom and dad about, because I knew they would get this because they raised this in me. My mother has called me my whole life a rebel without a pause. What that means from her is there are times where I have something that I'm passionate about and I care about and I have a good point. And then there are times where I am just barking and I get passionate about something that nobody else in the world will, but I can't stop myself.
Right.
And what happens when that happens? My mom and dad were smart enough to realize, you know what? If we just let him get this out of his system, it's going to be all right.
Right.
It's going to be fine. And then there are things that they realize that if they took it away from me, all I did was want it more.
Exactly.
And I am no different than any other kid out there. And guess what? Adults.
Mm-hmm.
Adults, we don't grow out of that much.
Right.
So what happens when you suspend Jimmy Kimmel? What do you think is going to happen? Oh, shocking. Late night numbers shot through the roof.
Yep.
What happens when you say that you're going to get rid of the Colbert report, the late night show and
right.
stuff? Ratings through the roof.
Everyone's watching now because they want to see what the response is, right? Yeah.
Man, McDonald's has known this forever. Why do you think that the McShake or whatever,
the Shamrock Shake
is not available 24/7?
Or the McRib. They do that constantly with the McRib, right?
Disney Vault and Disney taking away movies and bringing them back. This is entertainment 101. This is marketing 101. Mm-hmm. They did not, and they could not have set up the Jimmy Kimmel Show better. This was one of the best things to happen to late night television.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to say that. And I would rather it not happen because of how much I care about free speech.
Exactly.
But given that we can't rewind the clock and time only goes one direction, regardless of how you feel about this issue, you have to look at this as what it is. And it is the best thing that could have happened to late night television.
Yeah.
The ratings are through the roof.
Right. Specifically for Jimmy now because of this. Now, people who didn't care two figs about Jimmy Kimmel or his late night show may be interested now and to hear what he has to say, which we know what he's been saying for the last couple of years, right? So there you go.
There needs to be a respect and a line in the sand when it comes to free speech.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that every single American, if you are a true American, you need to hold dear. Mm-hmm. If you don't, there are a lot of countries that will take you.
Yeah.
If you don't care about free speech, you can get there. Russia's just waiting for you. They could use you right now because they got a war going on.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on, right?
Yeah, yeah. This country begins and ends with freedom. It begins and ends with freedom, and I stress both ends of that.
Right.
These kind of things matter. Mm-hmm. This just a silly little late night talk show. What's the big deal or whatever? How do you think? What do you think a slippery slope starts with? Mm. This stuff matters.
It matters, too, that people like Ted Cruz said that.
Ted Cruz has no backbone.
We have seen that for years now.
Yes, yes.
For years.
None. And he stood up for this. Show. What does that tell you?
Like, this is, it's foundational. It is to this country. For other countries, whatever. You know, we're not looking at that right now. We're looking at this country right now.
Yeah.
And it has for 250 years, I guess. That's coming up, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, we're not, what are we without it? Seriously, what are we?
The FCC and the government is supposed to protect us. They're busy protecting themselves. Mm-hmm. Their focus is them. Think about that. That simple sentence I just said. Government is meant to protect us. They are focused on protecting themselves. Mm-hmm. They are afraid of, I don't understand what, especially when you got all the power in the world. And there's no more the man to point your finger at. You're the man. Like, you got all the power, man.
Yeah.
Like, what are you afraid of? Why are so many of these people running so scared and acting so cowardly? I have never seen our government more cowardly. Never.
No.
I didn't think it was even possible, to be honest with you.
Right.
To me, this is the prime example of that. If nothing else has caught your attention, the fact that they are going after freedom of speech. Come on, man. I mean, that is not the country that I love, that I will die for. That is not, that doesn't work for me. I am not going to take that sitting down. And I don't care who is in office.
Nope.
If my dad was in office, I'd be saying every single one of these syllables.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, we can't have that.
Nope.
And I don't know if we can have this. I don't know if we can have this, everybody. As passionate as I am about all that I just said, I might be just as passionate about bringing back Baywatch.
Oh, dear.
I'm not sure if we should. What have we done wrong? Like, what did we do to deserve that? Fox has decided to bring back Baywatch, a new version, by the way, that will premiere during the 2026-27 season.
Okay.
They're promoting this new version of Baywatch as, quote, bring the California dream to a whole new generation of fans with fresh stories, rising stars, and all the spectacle that make the Baywatch franchise a global sensation. 20, 30 years ago. May have added that my part.
That might be a little addendum there.
The show will feature, quote, all the adrenaline-fueled rescues. Oh, God. Boy, those words have never been stretched more. Tangled relationships, complicated chemistry, and beachside heroics that define the original, now with an entirely new cast.
Well,
because David Hasselhoff is old.
Seriously, I mean,
well, he was old when he did the other.
Yeah, one, but we don't need to bring back. You know, let him have his retirement.
The Hoss is not coming back. The original Baywatch premiered on NBC in 1989 and ran one season there. Then it moved to syndication for 10 more. David Hasselhoff, of course, starred in that in a two season spinoff, Baywatch. Baywatch Nights.
I remember that.
From 95 to 97. I do remember that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a full episode.
So they've been trying to do these kind of like things, like Baywatch or Baywatch versions of this, and none of them ever work.
No.
The only reason the other one worked is the timing of it in the 90s.
Exactly.
And what you could get, that wiggle room of things that we were like, hey, wait a minute, we shouldn't be doing that. and also things being kind of like just still brought in because we always did it that way.
Right, exactly. You know? That's the way of doing it. Honestly, but we have to remember, it was so big, man. It was so huge. And not just here, everywhere. It was like a worldwide thing,
man.
It
was gigantic.
It was gigantic, but I don't know if you can catch lightning in a bottle twice. That's the thing.
I mean, that's the problem with a lot of these, and we're going to get into this in a little bit with the franchises that are being brought back and everything. If you see a tie-in here, everybody, that was intentional. Because for every franchise we get, wow, they should probably bring that back. There are ones that just, I don't know that modern audiences it'll work with. We've already seen this with some stories where, you know, oh, John Carter, this is an amazing story. This is going to be a good, we got 3-4 films out of this.
Right.
And nope, biggest box office fail in Disney history.
Yeah, that's right.
It's wild to think, okay, that's not going to work, but you know what? We're going to make 4 3-hour movies about this group of 7 people traveling up a hill to throw away a ring. Those are going to do fine. Those are going to do gangbusters. Those are going to do great. I don't know how you predict these things or how you're sitting there to decide on them. And honestly, I'll be completely honest about this. I don't mind them doing this for complete comedic value.
Hey,
you know, if they're going to waste the money, let them. I'll laugh. I will laugh at all of it.
That Baywatch was always a great, you know, ironic watch. I mean, like a fun, make fun of it while you're going along kind of. Absolutely. It was always good for that because it took itself so seriously. And I thought that was part of the charm was that everyone did it with a straight face. No one was like winking at the camera. I think that's why it worked.
And it did set off a couple of careers. It gave Hasselhoff a second life, a third act.
Sure, however many acts you want to call it.
A couple of other actors that got breaks from that show.
Pamela Anderson did, you know.
See what happens.
Look at where she is at now. So, you know, just had a big movie. So, yeah.
Saturday Night Live announced the first round of hosts and musical guests for season 51. And so far, it looks pretty interesting. The show debuts on October 4th with host Bad Bunny and musical guest Doja Cat. On October 11th...
Bunny and cats? Do they really go together?
Oh, that's pretty good. I didn't catch that. Nicely done, man. Nicely done. Amy Poehler makes her return with musical guest Role Model on October 11th. Cannot wait for that show. Cannot wait. And then on October 18th, Sabrina Carpenter will host and be the musical guest.
Oh, very nice.
So just the first round of October guests, but exciting, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And great guests. Now, one thing that I kind of don't like about this, and I will say what I don't like about it, but I will also say why I understand it. Usually, one of the things that I enjoy that Lauren does with this is he'll bring in a guest. The first guest is somebody that usually hasn't hosted before.
Mm.
And it's usually a big name. Oftentimes, it's somebody coming off of a Super Bowl win or something like that, or a World Series win or something along those lines. He doesn't do this, though, when bringing in a new cast.
Mm.
So, new cast, a lot of green face, a lot of people who have never done
new
this.
New faces, right?
Have no idea what live TV is like and what that is. So, that is chaos over there, unpredictability. But with the host, I'm bringing in Bad Bunny, who I believe this is his third or fourth time hosting, or on the show at least, has been a recurring character, has killed it every single time. Amy Poehler, obvious alum, and has hosted before.
Sure.
Sabrina Carpenter, who has been on there before, and is one of the bigger names out there
and
now.
She actually knew her as an actress well before I knew her as a singer, and she was also been in sketch comedy too, so I think she'll be well prepared for this, yeah.
So I obviously know Lauren Michaels, but I believe that there is a certain pattern to this, and looking back in the history of when they brought in new casts and look at who the opening host was.
Right, exactly.
More times than not, it was a former cast member or something along those lines. Or on the opposite end of it, a Michael Jordan or a Peyton Manning, who they're so green, they're going to make the younger actors and the young stars look even more experienced.
And they get a pass because they're not actors. They're sports people or whatever, right? Yeah.
I am realizing, and I knew this already, but I'm realizing I'm saying this. I have thought about this way too much and more than any other human being ever has.
I think that's true.
It's very,
it's very fair.
It's very fair and sad.
all at the same time.
We've got our new WFHR newsletter up and ready to go tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Everybody, we're looking forward to that. We want you to go to WFHR.com, sign up for that newsletter. Your one-stop shop for Central Wisconsin news.
Yes.
Get on over there, sign up for that newsletter. Big thank you to our team working so part on that letter. Mm-hmm. And while you're there, sign up for our recipe submission.
Yes.
We are putting together our 85th anniversary cookbook to celebrate our anniversary here at WFHR mm-hmm. coming up in November, and yep. it ain't going to be the same without you.
No, no, not at all. So make sure you go to the website, WFHR.com. There's a banner there that comes up and says submit your recipe. All you got to do is click on that, and then James has it up right now, just a simple Google document. You just fill in the information there. It's not even only a couple of questions. We just want to know the details about the recipe and, of course, the ingredients and all that. And then hit submit, and you're done. That's all you need to do if you want to do it that way. Of course, you can also drop it off here. You can send it via email or even on the text line. Just take a picture. We'll get the picture. It doesn't matter. However you get it to us, everyone, we want your recipes.
Yeah, we just want you to be a part of this, everybody. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, if you submit something and it gets entered into the cookbook, you're going to get a copy of that book.
A free cookbook?
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
We are not doing this to keep the lights on. We're doing this for fun and to celebrate our
celebrate,
community.
Yeah.
It's a love letter to our community. That's it really right. is. And to all you listeners out there that have kept us around for 85 years.
That's right.
We appreciate you taking us on your cars, playing us in your kitchens, mm-hmm. Bringing us around with you mobily now on mm-hmm. the Civic Media app and all that. That's why we are here, and we're yep. still able to broadcast from Wisconsin Rapids because right. of all of you out there. This is our thank you to you for that. Mm-hmm. And we want you to be a part of it. It's not going to be the same without you. Go to WFHR.com and sign on up, everybody. Mm-hmm. And before we go to break, I did want to do one more kind of behind the curtain look of On Golden Pond, the fall premiere, the leadoff hitter, if you will, for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theaters next season. Mm-hmm. We are excited about this season. You've got a Christmas song coming up, our variety show. You've got our Silver Foxes doing some good programs. Mm-hmm. Lots of great stuff coming up in the next couple of months.
Yes.
But it really kicks off tomorrow.
It does.
On Golden Pond. Now, technically to me, it kicks off tonight because we've got a preview night.
Yeah.
But
for the greater public, yes. Yeah.
Tonight is opening, tomorrow night is opening night for On Golden Pond. Mm-hmm. Last night, I gave my last notes to the cast, and my notes were I have no notes.
That's an excellent place to be in.
They are ready. The only thing this cast is missing, the only thing this crew is missing is you.
An audience.
They just need an audience.
They want you.
They
come on down.
They are so good and so ready to go. I cannot be prouder. I don't know many productions I have been more proud of that I've gotten a humble part to be a part of mm-hmm. than this one right here. When you watch this play, and I guarantee you're going to love it, I have no doubt in my mind you guys will enjoy this play. It is a heartfelt, true, funny play that is as great as you remember the movie or anything else, only better because it's got locals. And
that's right.
You are right there experiencing these moments with these actors. Mm-hmm. Theater is
nothing
a
like it.
Living,
like
breathing
it.
Organism it that is. You get to be a part of. And I cannot express enough how much you're going to enjoy this show, everybody.
Yep.
It's going to be fun. Premieres tomorrow. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org. wrctheater.org. Get on over there and enjoy yourself, everyone.
Yeah.
Take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR.
Up in the morning and out to school.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. My ears are blown. How are yours? I'm sorry these are so... I know the bumpers seem really hot.
They're a little bit hotter. I guess it has,
to
do with the new computer that we just had upgraded. So, I'm guessing that's what it is.
Everything that was old is new, and everything that is new is old, and all that and everything. And we have been making the joke for almost 20, maybe even longer than that, years of, oh, they're bringing this back. Oh, look at what they're bringing back, or something like that. Look at what they're trying to remake again.
Uh-huh.
And for everyone that can be a little successful or reimagined well, there are plenty of them that just aren't very good.
Meh. Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed like basically a money grab, you know, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that money grab is something that you and I have talked about quite a bit, and I think you've brought some good attention to, in IP and how vital that is to the industry forever. But in recent decades, it's become like almost all they do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, you're not wrong. Yeah.
So when it comes to that valued IP that, say, like, for example, Universal has all the classic monsters.
Right.
They've got your, mummy. They've got the, Dracula and all that and everything. So you're never going to probably see Universal not making movies like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Movies to take
in some way, shape, or form, right?
Yeah. There's actually, in the next couple of months, there is two different Frankenstein-type movies coming out. one of them directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal that actually looks kind of interesting.
Ooh, interesting.
But, you know, just to that point.
Exactly.
This ain't going anywhere.
Right.
So with the movies that I'm about to mention, it's almost, and the franchises I'm about to mention, I don't know if it's a matter of will this ever happen or when. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of when it
may just, you might be right, yeah.
Because they're just going to keep running through these things. Let me point to the movie Battleship, which is based on the board game Battleship. Did horrible.
Yeah.
Although Rihanna was in it.
Yeah, well, that makes it a little bit, but still.
I never saw it.
No.
Every other movie is a remake, a reboot, or a sequel, it feels like. So it's surprising that there are 10 successful franchises that they have not touched in over 20 years. Here they are.
Okay.
In no particular order. And I'm mentioning this one first because I want us to cast it with a modern actor.
Let's do it.
Dirty Harry.
Oh, gosh.
1971 to 1988, of course, helped us. I believe that Clint Eastwood's career was made by the spaghetti westerns, but a lot of people that
70s.
Are smarter than me will tell you that Dirty Harry is what made him a household name.
Right, and that's the late 70s, the early. But was there three of them? Am I right on that one?
There at least three.
Yeah.
There was at least three, because I remember the last one.
Yeah, it didn't really do that well, if I remember correctly, either.
No.
The first couple were okay, but yeah, in terms of box office.
It is noteworthy in many ways because of not only the end of the franchise, mm-hmm. but the end of a career, many people thought. Many mm-hmm. people believed that we would never see Clint Eastwood again.
Right.
You might see him on Hollywood Squares or something. I will always note Mr. Eastwood for taking that and being like, okay, watch what I can do.
Yeah, right.
And winning an Oscar as a director.
And then directing a whole bunch of really good movies, right?
Yeah. One of the greatest American directors we've had.
Yes.
You know, period.
Absolutely.
Clint
Eastwood on Hollywood Squares. Wow.
So who would make
That'd
a good...
Wild. Anyway.
Could anybody make a good modern Dirty Harry?
Oh, okay, well, we need someone really grizzled to do it. And a little bit older, I think would work just fine. Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I love it.
He would be excellent as
man.
Dirty
I
Harry.
Had a bunch of joke now. I was going to throw out Liam Neeson and stuff, and you know, The Rock and everything. No, you've nailed it good there.
Because you got to be serious. You got to take it. You can't wink at this one. And he is so good at just playing these kind of really outrageous characters, very grizzled characters, and just totally doing it straight. And he does it awesome. No one does it better than him.
Absolutely. 100% agree. I would like to see a grizzle off between Clint Eastwood and Sam Elliott, or a couple of other Ed Harris, maybe a little
throw,
bit.
His name is escaping me. Oh my gosh.
A couple actors that do that
Deadwood.
Really well.
Deadwood. Ian McShane.
Ian McShane.
Oh man.
Yes.
Another grizzled guy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. I actually think that series could have a chance. I could see that. I could see it having a chance.
You got to do it right. But yeah,
it does. This one, that one, and the next one kind of are a little bit dicey because the Police Academy movies, 1984 to 1994. Now, both of these involve law enforcement and mm-hmm. law enforcement and not the brightest of lights.
Right.
For whatever reasons, yes. One or the other.
Uh-huh.
Dirty Harry. I don't think the Dirty Harry necessarily was you could make technically a dirty cop and all that.
Sure.
But at the same time, the audience rooted for him.
Yeah, they did.
Myself included,
mm-hmm.
as a little kid and everything. When it came to that. Now in modern times, I think we've done that. Like The Shield, we've had how many TV shows characters like that?
NYPD Blue, even going even back to them, yeah.
Almost every police drama that has come out since then has involved
it's
this
gritty,
little
yeah,
bit or
right.
something. So I almost feel like you've kind of already done Dirty mm-hmm. Harry a number of times. I don't know in that regard it could come back, other than again IP,
right?
Police Academy movies.
Mm.
I think if you could write them and do them right, you would have a wonderful opportunity of bringing a little we have people out there that cannot, that when they see law enforcement, all they see is a badge and they don't see the human being behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty of, reasons for that.
Right.
I think that, you know, when we see what our police departments are able to do with social media and how great they are at it.
Right.
I think that there's something right there. There's something there that you could turn the Police Academy movies into something that would be
right.
not making fun of, but making, you know, but still be comedic.
I think you need to do the Reno 911 route with it. You need to do that kind of like almost found footage, like pseudo documentary, you know,
I love
style.
Reno 911.
They did a fantastic job with
good.
That one. I mean, of riding that line, they did a really good job. If you can do it like that, I think you'd be all right. I think you could do it.
Airport. 1970 to 1979, the airport movies, or the airplane movies, I guess.
Right, yeah.
You know, that.
There were airport movies, too, actually,
there were,
back in
so
the
maybe
70s.
They're talking about that.
Which I don't know which one they're talking about, yeah. But either are.
So either one, I think going back, CC, what we were talking about earlier with our airline industry right now and flying, yes. I don't know that that's a topic you really want to touch.
Right. Well, the airport movies were very serious. They were disaster films, basically, in the sky, disaster in the sky kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know. I that would be a hard one to bring back. Especially with, like you said, the tenor of the times. That might not be good.
This one a little more interesting for different reasons. Lethal Weapon, 1987 to 1998. And, of course, multiple movies, I believe four or five.
I think you're right, yeah.
Now, this one's interesting because they were so darn popular, mm-hmm. and they did so well. And I believe they did try to bring these back or something, and it mm-hmm. never happened or right. it didn't work out well. There's also the Mel Gibson tie-in.
Right.
And Mel Gibson, one of the more toxic and, I think, overrated and jerk people that we've ever heard
from.
He's a jerk. Yes. He's a jerk. I mean, I can ramble about his anti-Semitism and all this stuff, but he's just a jerk.
It's well documented at this point.
Yeah, and look at, again, very similar to other directors and actors I will bring up. Look at how often that people wanted to work with them again.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
Nope.
Nobody wants to, you know, other than Danny Glover, basically. Nobody wants to work with Mel Gibson on multiple movies.
Who could not be more different.
Right. And that was before all the cancel stuff and everything.
Right.
I wonder if that cloud hangs over that franchise right. too much.
Well, then maybe that's why we have to recast it like
yes.
that. And
yeah.
And we need to put Daniel Glover.
Oh, nice.
As the, I'm sorry.
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. Sorry, I got his name
yeah.
right. He needs to take over for Danny Glover.
He would
do a really good job. Now we have to recast the other guy. What are you thinking here? Do we need more action or do we need more humor?
So if you're going Donald Glover, you got a bit of a younger actor. Not
yep.
young, but a bit
yep.
younger. So I think maybe a little bit of an older guy in the other role.
Oh, that's good. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
And I like the idea of you know, flipping this too. So keeping, I mean, with the model mm-hmm. and everything. So maybe an older white actor, you know, somebody along those lines.
Jason Statham, maybe?
Jason
would he
Statham
work?
Would
Statham,
be
excuse
fun.
Me, yeah.
He does comedy. He could do comedy.
He could do comedy. I think he'd be good, and he's older for sure at this point, yeah.
There's a couple of actors there that work on that. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Then maybe you could just kind of redo it all over and make it better, right?
Billy Jack from 1967 to 1977. Wow.
Why did they throw that one in?
I don't know
this
why
group
I
of. You had sent this to me, and that one was made me raise my eyebrows.
Yeah.
Why Billy Jack? Was it even that popular?
I guess
I don't know.
I think they were trying to fill out 10. I think they wanted to have a full 10, and they were just scraping
it. They did.
Crocodile Dundee from 1986 to 2001. I wonder if that one would be able to be done nowadays, in part because so much of it was, and this is 80s comedy,
mm-hmm.
we take one thing and we all laugh at it.
Basically.
I mean, almost all these movies I've mentioned
yep.
All have that one thing that was that they felt like everybody was laughing at,
mm-hmm.
and so we can make fun of this,
right.
You know, and all that. Not laughing with the person, but laughing at.
Okay.
I feel comedy has moved very forward to we're laughing with, not at somebody.
Yes. But for this one specifically, I think we got it because we need someone completely unexpected. They need to be Australian in order to do it correctly, and that's why you cast Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
I think he would be fantastic in that.
They did do a modern Crocodile Dundee with a bunch of Australian actors, mm-hmm. but not like in the regard you're talking
right.
about.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I've honestly, this is one of the few remakes I will say that I actually want to see.
Oh, okay.
And I want to see it not because I don't love the originals and everything, but because I think that with modern camera work and stuntmen and all those things, boy, could they do a cool job with it. Smokey and the Bandit from 1977 to 1983. I love those movies. I love Burt Reynolds.
Right.
I love Sally Field. I'll admit that wholeheartedly. I love car chases. I admit all of that.
Okay.
Those movies, those car jumps and stuff, they hold up to me.
Mm-hmm.
They are incredible. They do a good job. You know?
They do, absolutely.
But with modern tech and all these different things, I feel like they could do such a cool job with those. And it doesn't hold up because CBs are not what they used to be and
right.
everything and,
yep.
not, and a lot of that. I know that there's some stuff that
you'd have to update a few things. Yeah, right.
I feel like it could be done.
Right.
I feel like it could be done.
But the only thing is, like, who do you get to? You could find someone like Burt Reynolds, like you could to be the lead in that kind of thing. But who do you cast as Jackie, you know, the sheriff, Jackie
yeah.
Gleason?
Yeah.
You'd have to, I mean, he was such a legend. It's hard to do that. that with him, and it was kind of an unexpected role for him too. So, but he did a great job. So I don't know. That'd be the tougher part for me.
The next two on this list, they need to stay away from The Godfather, 1972 to 1990. You cannot make the first Godfather better. And you darn sure can.
It's one of the best films ever made, yeah.
And Godfather 2 may be the one that tops that.
Yeah.
It's the one few time where you might be able to say the sequel's better than the first
right.
one. There's no... you cannot convince me. I don't care what cast you put in front of me. You can put me in the cast. And I don't... But, well, wait a minute. No. You can't wait convince me those two movies cannot be made better.
You can't.
If you want to make the third one, fine.
That's fine.
But I love the
that one was not very good.
They just remake the third Godfather. That's it.
Let's do it right this time, right? Yeah.
And Back to the Future, 1985 to 1990.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know that you can remake those better.
The chemistry between Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd was just so good. I would have struggled with that one. I would really have a hard time doing anything with that one.
And a lot like some of these other things that we've been talking about here, man. It also, I don't know the timeline-wise it adds up. Like,
no.
Modern audiences would be able to get into it
you,
like that.
Can you do that? No. It'd just be all fan service. That's all it would be, and I'm not interested.
We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back. But I do want to hear from you guys out there if one of these franchises you would watch a new version of, or if you would like to see them do that,
right.
Or is there one we didn't mention you'd like to see.
Right.
Hit us up through the Civic Media app. Let us know, everybody. Be a part of the conversation. We'll come back and have some more fun after this. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. God, there's something about bagpipes that hit my soul.
That's right.
I love it. Love the sound of bagpipes. We hope you're all having a great one out there. Thanks so much for joining us over here, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting one I came across. Just wanted to touch on this one before we wrap up and get to our final segment coming up here. J.D. Power's annual airport satisfaction survey shows the overall scores improved by 10 points on 1,000-point scale from last year to this year. So how airports are doing, what are the least liked airports, the best and worst airports according to flyers.
Okay.
And this is all according to flyers.
Yep.
That's what J.D. Power does and all that, and certainly noteworthy, I think, there.
Yep.
Among mega airports, the top 10 are Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport.
Yes. I have to admit, I've been there many, many times. I'm sure a lot of people out there who've flown. It's a hub, so there's a lot of people that go through Minneapolis. And I have to say, it's one of the better laid out ones. It's one of the better with amenities. You know, they've got the tram there to get you back and forth quickly. It's a nice airport. I have to agree.
I make no bones about it. O'Hare Airport is always going to be like a hometown team to me. I love that airport. I've got a lot of nostalgia and memories to it. I have never been in a nicer airport. Not only the look and the way it was kept up, there was, but the people, than that airport in particular.
Right.
It's a pretty airport. It's nice.
Shockingly
it's
nice.
It's laid out perfectly. I could not tell you how like out of sorts I was and what a rush I was in that day. I was moving to California. My flight was late and all that. I've never dealt with people nicer to me.
Right.
Like they set me up so well because of that. Airport is really nice.
One of my oldest, I'm sure, is still convinced he had the best meal ever at the Minneapolis airport at the restaurant we stopped at. So
I think it stands out too because we've had to lower our bar so much with airports.
Ooh, yeah.
Detroit Metropolitan Wayne County Airport. I've heard great things about that one.
It's not bad either. Now that one's basically as like a straight line.
Oh.
So the whole thing is set up that way. So
that's smart.
I would say if it's got one thing over Minneapolis is that it's easier to move around in. It's very quick to get to where you need to go.
Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport in Phoenix.
Never been there.
Never been to that one either, but I've heard good things. And I've been to the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. That's a nice airport. It's a little actually smaller than you would expect for a Dallas airport.
Right.
But I thought it was laid out very well.
Yep.
I thought that
part was good. Somehow I've missed that one. I'm not sure how, but I have not been there.
Harry Reid International Airport in Vegas. If you've flown in Vegas, you have flown that airline. And that one is not an airport. It's a circus.
It's
It's Vegas, baby.
It's Vegas.
Right?
It's Vegas.
Everything, even the airport's got to be that way.
It really is. I don't think it's bad, though. I don't think it's a bad airport. It's just, you know, you're going there and you forget that you're at an airport.
You know where you are, in other words.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever looked more like a tourist in my life than the time I spent in Vegas, the couple of hours I spent in Vegas.
Right.
I could not stop looking around at things. John F. Kennedy International Airport in New York.
The one I never get to.
Yeah, I've never been there.
I'm always in LaGuardia. That's the always place I end up in New York is LaGuardia. Yeah.
But I'm a little surprised to see them on there just because it feels like so many people make fun of that airport. But yeah, I guess, you know, it doesn't mean that it isn't.
It's probably better than LaGuardia, although they've done some upgrades at LGA.
A couple of Florida ones back to back, Orlando International Airport and Miami International Airport.
The layout of Orlando is very nice, and I like the way that they have it set up. There's a hotel like in the main area where you can stay if obviously you stay in hotels. It's actually, you can tell it's built for a lot of traffic because it's Orlando, you know? That's where all the theme parks and stuff are.
San Fran and Boston wrap this up. Okay. The bottom two are Newark Liberty and Toronto Pearson International.
Toronto, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Among larger airports, John Wayne Airport in Orange County, Tampa International Airport, Dallas Love Field, Kansas City International Airport, and Raleigh-Durham International Airport.
Have I been to Raleigh-Durham? Usually when I... No, Charlotte is the one. If I've ever flown into North Carolina, it's Charlotte. Mm. So.
And the bottom two are Philadelphia International Airport and Montreal. Among the medium airports, Indianapolis International Airport, Ontario International Airport in Southern California, Buffalo Niagara International Airport, Jacksonville International Airport, and Palm Beach International.
Okay.
In the bottom two there are Edmonton and Cleveland Hopkins International.
Okay.
I've been to that one.
I have not been to that one.
Yeah, I've been to that one. It's a nice airport.
I've been to Akron, but not Cleveland.
The study, based on more than 30,000 surveys from U.S. or Canada residents who traveled through North America airports in the past year, they asked about, quote, ease of travel, level of trust, terminal facilities, airport staff, experiences leaving and arriving, food, retail, and beverages.
I have to say, talking about Wisconsin, because none of them ended up on any of these lists here of the airports, and I've been to a few in airports here. They've got some, I think most of them are pretty darn good. Madison has a nice airport. Dane County is very good. Appleton is a nice little airport there too, and of course Central Wisconsin up here. Again, I like smaller airports.
Yeah,
because they're not as crazy as the big ones. So that's one of the reasons I'm biased, because I like the smaller ones. But
I've flown out of every airport in this state, and I've enjoyed all of them. I would say that Madison I've flown out of the most, and I enjoy the most.
I like Madison,
and I will admit though I know that one like the back of my hand.
Sure.
So that's part of it,
right?
But I really like that one. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee's got a nice airport.
Milwaukee's
too.
Not bad at all.
It's fun. I like, and I'm with you on the small airports.
They're so much nicer. Yeah.
There's something about it too.
Yeah,
it feels like you're taking a cab almost.
Right.
I enjoy it. We've enjoyed this show. It's been a lot of fun. We're coming back with one more segment for you on this Wednesday, everybody. It's Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Seth and James taking you to the top of the hour. Coming up, nothing but great civic media programming, along with, of course, those keywords for the Go for the Green or Gold text to win statewide multi-state contest we have going on. Big thank you to our local sponsors, Rapids Transmission, for that. Mm-hmm. Be listening, because for the rest of the day, at the top of the 11 o'clock, 1, 3, 5, and 7 o'clock hours, you will have a keyword to text us through the civic media app and get a chance to win.
You know it.
In on that possibility of winning those tickets.
Absolutely.
Be listening for that, everybody. Big shout out to everybody who's been playing along.
Yeah.
Wanted to let everybody know our schedule for today. We got a great one lined up for you in the Rapids Report. We're talking to the ODC. Our great friends at the ODC are going to join us. Ann Lee Peck will be here. I love talking with Ann.
I bet you they're going to talk about the Halloween, the haunted house that they do. So awesome.
We are definitely talking about the haunted house.
I cannot believe how popular it's gotten in just a couple of years. It's amazing. So cool.
It's a fun one. Week. I look forward to being talking about that coming up, everybody. And Seth, it is a Wednesday. We know what that means.
Why, it's bingo night, everybody.
Bingo.
It's bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. Doors open at 5. Bingo starts at 6:30. Go there and support them. and help them support all the great stuff they do in this community, everyone. So it's a great, fun way to support them. And we have coming up very shortly. In fact, James just did a little interview on Rapids Report this week with our good friends over at the Arts Council and the show they've got coming up on October 9th at 7:30. And that is the at the Performing Arts Center at the PAC, everyone. It is The Magic of Willie Nelson with Willie and Family Live. This is a great tribute group of the Redheaded Stranger. And of course, we always encourage you to go over to their website to get your tickets right now, everyone. It is savorthearts.com. Get them 24/7. You can also stop by their offices at 1040 8th Street South, Suite 101 during their business hours, 10 to 2, Monday through Thursday, or give them a call, 715-424-2787 during those same times if you need a little help getting those tickets. They will be very happy to do that, but we are very excited. We are WIRI is a sponsor of this show, and we hope to see you there because we're going to be showing up, everyone. We're going to help Sally do a little few introductions there.
That's going to be so cool. I love that addition to this. It's a really nice move by you and the team. And I appreciate Sally so much. We've got tickets we'll be giving away for that. Be listening for that next week, everybody. And one of my favorite interviews I've done in a long time. Michael was awesome. Not only does he sound exactly like Willie Nelson, when you're talking to him, that's just great. His voice. It's just how he sounds. Mm-hmm. He is so talented, everybody. You want to take in this show. The fact that you don't have to travel 2 hours to see this show, that's amazing.
Right in town here. It's right here.
Check that out, everybody. Some other great people we got to talk to yesterday. Where's our friends over at the Girl Scouts of Northwestern Great Lakes. They have a wonderful open house going on today from 5 to 7 over at Camp Sacagawea, 3910 Chestnut Street, right here in Rapids. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and check that out. All kids in K through 12 grades, come on down, check this out. This is not only one of the greater organizations history, really, but just a great opportunity for those young ladies out there.
Yep.
And I encourage you to check out that interview to learn more and show up and ask them yourselves.
Yeah, if you're interested at all, it's a great way to get some more information.
Come learn more about Girl Scouts, and they'll do a sample Girl Scout activities, and you can sign up for Girl Scouts. Learn more about our Scouts. The Girl Scouts of Northwestern Great Lakes from 5 to 7 today over at Camp Sacagawea right here in Rapids.
Nice.
Thank you for giving me an excuse to say Camp Sacagawea.
It's fun. It's a fun word to say.
I love that word. I love being able to say that word. Our great friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties have their Day of Caring coming up Saturday, October 25th. Encourage you to sign on up. And if you know somebody that needs a lawn mowed or raked,
fruits and fall,
go ahead and submit it. But of course, we're looking for teams. More teams, the more lawns we can do. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Be a part of the community, everybody.
Yeah, and I got to say, someone who's done this last 4 years, I think now. Wow, it's a great day. You feel so good. Just helping out, just pitching in, giving a hand, man. It's a great feeling. And of course, these are folks who need help. So it's a win-win for all.
Strangers helping strangers, but you don't stay strangers.
You do not.
You will make new friends for doing this.
Just a friend you haven't met, right?
Yeah. It's a wonderful event. And there are certain events where you just can't put in the words the feeling that you get being a part of this.
Yep.
We had Terry in the other day, and she broke some news for us. They're going to be green shirts this year.
It's green this year.
So when you see that sea of green throughout the city and everything, you can be a part of it. You are going to be feeling like one. And we need more of that in our community.
We do.
We need more 100%. Of that in our world right now.
We do.
Get to uwswac.org to sign up and be a part of things with us coming up. And, of course, be listening this week. Tara will be joining us in a couple of days, or tomorrow.
She'll be here tomorrow, actually.
And we'll talk a little bit more about it. We do have some good stories of the day to get to, but real quick, I did want to, again, one more time before we wrap up this new year and Rosh Hashanah for not just my people, but for the world. I want to say Lasha Notova to everybody out there. And for those that don't know what Rosh Hashanah is and what it means, and why am I rambling about it on a radio station where, let's be honest, the majority of you out there are Gentiles.
Yeah, right. Maybe you've never even met someone of Jewish persuasion, right?
But that's why.
Yeah.
That's why I am. Because not only does that hopefully kill anti-Semitism and kill the unknown, because that is what we fear oftentimes is the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
The more you understand and the more you know. I am not trying to say that you're going to like it or enjoy, but I think you might find it interesting.
Right.
Because this is the not only the two-day celebration of the beginning of the new year and celebration of creation of all of this,
mm-hmm.
But it is something that I think is one of the more universal things there is. This day, my mother and I will go down to the lake and we will say goodbye to this past year. Mm-hmm. The good, the bad, the gray of it.
That's right.
And at the end of it, showing our eternal thanks. Mm-hmm. Thank you for this life. Thank you for this world that I am in. I don't know that we can ever do that enough in life. It is really easy to point at the negative in life. Mm-hmm. It is really easy to not get along with people that don't agree with you. Mm-hmm. The harder thing, the stronger thing to do in life is to do what humanity has done forever. Mm-hmm. And that is work together.
Cooperate.
We do not get anywhere without each other.
That's right.
So that person that didn't vote the same as you, that person that roots for the other sports team, all of those, it takes all of us. Mm-hmm. It takes all of us to go forward here. And when it comes to being thankful for life, thankful for this game that we're in right now, I don't think it's hard to do. Mm-mm. I don't think that you need to necessarily put a lot into this. It's something that I think you could do every day. Mm-hmm. Being thankful. I mention this all the time. We look for big wins all the time. Take the little ones. Did you wake up this morning? That's a W, baby. Mm-hmm. That's a win. Things like that. Being thankful for that. I think it's pretty universal.
I agree. 100%, man.
And I wish that to everybody out there.
Yes, all you folks out there.
And I wish I knew this lady because her and I have one of our favorite same bands. A 70-year-old woman in Arizona named Carla Well Knight is battling an aggressive form of breast cancer. But last week, she got to see her all-time favorite band, Nine Inch Nails.
Okay.
She's even got a
very nice tattoo. Yeah. Very nice. Of course she does.
It's great footage of it. You got to see it, everybody. Have a great day, everyone.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.